Welcome back to the Niners Wire podcast. We are here just over 2 weeks out from the NFL draft, and the 49ers are in the news, as is predictable at this time of year. They have the number two pick, obviously. They've started the offseason program. Kyle Shanahan and new coordinator Robert Saleh spoke to the media yesterday, along with a group of players. But first, let's hit a little bit of news. There's been a report from Adam Schefter of ESPN, who says that the Browns are wavering between taking Myles Garrett, number one overall, or quarterback Mitchell Trubisky. It sounds like the building is split between those two prospects. And obviously, with the 49ers picking second, that would have huge ramifications on their draft. And the assumption goes that the 49ers would love to see Myles Garrett fall to number two. One, because he's the best player in the draft. I think that's a safe consensus. And two, if they're trading back from that pick, which has long been rumored, or if they're interested in it, they would get a huge haul, a bigger haul, if Myles Garrett was there. So, guys, I'm here with Jared Brown and Rob Lauder, as always. And so what do you guys think when you see that report?
Well, I think right now they have to just be kind of expanding their possibilities as far as who everybody thinks that the Browns might take. I think the more people that the Browns might be rumored to be interested in, the more kind of interest they garner in the pick. And I think even though Myles Garrett seems like a slam dunk, you can't say he's a certainty, I think they still want to explore options. You know, there's all that talk about the Browns analytical department and stuff like that. How they kind of really value draft picks. So it's still, even though they've got one overall and they've got a prospect standing there staring at them that seems like is about as safe a pick as you can get, it seems like right now they're just going to try to generate as much interest in it as they can so that they can, you know, explore their options. And then obviously this is all good for the 49ers because, like you said, if the idea that Myles Garrett might be there, if that's an option, then the value of their number two pick goes up no matter who the Browns are planning on taking. Because if teams believe that one, Myles Garrett might be there, or two, there's a prospect they already like that they know is going to be there, then it's already got some value. So right now I think it's a little hard to take too seriously, but you can definitely see why they're doing it.
I'd agree with that. I will say that Matt Miller also mentioned that he kind of threw out there from the combine that the Browns were really enamored with Trubisky. And after watching that defense this last year, particularly the linebackers, but really the defense as a whole, I would say that on the Browns roster, and as Hugh Jackson and his staff tries to kind of figure out where to go offense or defense early and really how to continue building their team, that defense is in much better shape than the offense right now. They have Isaiah Crowell as a running back, and he's solid. I don't know that he's a bona fide elite starter or anything like that, but he's solid. The offensive line is probably one of the better ones in the league, really underrated. They've got a ton of wide receivers, and they have no quarterback. So I could absolutely see them investing early if they find a quarterback that they really like. And at the same time, while Garrett seems to be a great player, I think that naturally, as the draft gets closer, we're going to start to see a little bit of evening out among some of those players, particularly at the edge or outside linebacker defensive end position, where you might have to flex your scheme a little bit, but you'll be able to find guys that can rush the passer a little later. So I wouldn't be shocked to see it happen, because we know how quarterbacks are valued in the league, and we know that they're often overdrafted relative to other players. But I think Garrett definitely still has to be the favorite. And really, whether the Browns are interested in Trubisky or not, they're doing the 49ers a favor as well by kind of mentioning this and drumming this up, as Rob mentioned. Whether the trade is even likely, right now the second pick is significantly more valuable than it was just a matter of hours ago before the news came out.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that, because this is a really interesting draft when it comes to edge players. And there are going to be guys in, early in the first round, the second round, and the third round that can be had that are going to be intriguing pass rushers. So, teams are going to look at, and the 49ers, I'm sure, have already weighed the scenario. So that is it going to be worth it to take Myles Garrett at number two, or is it going to be better to get maybe in a trade package to move and get an additional first round pick or a couple second round picks and give the 49ers more rolls of the dice to build the roster elsewhere? They could add someone like Jordan Willis from Kansas State in the second round, or with, you know, they Tack McKinley, all these guys, Terrell Basham, Jared, I'm sure you could go through the list too, but this is a good draft for pass rushers, and the 49ers could move back. They could still land Derek Barnett, who some people think is actually better than Myles Garrett, and I think the production last year speaks to that, although Garrett was dealing with injuries and maybe wanted to preserve his draft stock a little bit. But it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out, because we've spent so much time talking about the draft and the fact that being in the number two spot is a little bit awkward this year, under the assumption that Garrett goes first. And if Garrett doesn't go first, that puts it all in its head. And the 49ers all of a sudden have more leverage than any team in the draft. I'm not really buying the report, to be honest. Like, I would be completely shocked if the Browns are willing to pass on Garrett to take someone like Trubisky, particularly, you know, with Cleveland being insistent on not trading the number one overall pick to the Patriots for Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Garoppolo is, you know, if he were coming out in this draft, or based on the body of work that he's already shown in the league and the fact that he's been in the Patriots system and he's played behind Brady and he's gotten a little bit of experience, I would say that Garoppolo is a much better player right now than Trubisky will be. I feel confident saying that, at least, you know, right now, knowing that we only have a really small sample of Trubisky. So are the Browns just being the Browns? Are they actually considering this? Or are they, you know, is all that interest about Trubisky for the 12th pick, their second pick in the first round? You know, that could be a case. That could be a scenario, too. And maybe they're thinking about Patrick Mahomes. Maybe this whole thing is just a smokescreen, and they're going to go a different direction, maybe take, you know, a tight end like O.J. Howard or something like that. So I'm not totally buying it. The draft, we talked about it. The draft really, they pushed it back because they want to drum up interest and have websites like ours write every different angle we possibly can about it to get fans interested in it. And, you know, the stories like this are going to come out this next couple weeks. And we shouldn't really be surprised when we see things like this.
It does make some sense that the Browns might want Trubisky. And yeah, he's got only one season of work. It was a good season, decent season. But, you know, he's got all that Ohio kid aura coming with him. And the Browns have this ridiculously long list of failed quarterbacks. Now, you know, maybe if somebody in there is in love with a guy, then maybe they see Trubisky as their, okay, we can finally have some solidarity at the quarterback position. Yes, Myles Garrett is a phenomenal edge player, but if they feel like Trubisky's the answer at quarterback and they could finally solve that riddle that they haven't been able to solve in who knows how long, then I could see some reason for taking him. But like you said, there's really just no guarantee with any quarterback, let alone one that's only got one season's worth of a body of work. So I can kind of see why they might be considering it, but at the same time, leaking a rumor like this, it wouldn't really help them in terms of their 12th pick, because if they're leaking their interested rumors in Trubisky, then it doesn't seem like, you know, now teams are going to really be really insistent to get ahead of them at that 12th pick if they do take Myles Garrett first. So, you know, it's a little odd, and I'm with you guys in saying that I don't think Trubisky is worth number two. I don't, of course, he's not worth number one, but, you know, if the Browns people in that front office are in love with him and they see him as that answer, then I guess it starts to make a little bit of sense, although, it, you know, from our end, it seems a little crazy.
So if you're the 49ers right now and you hear that the Browns are in love with Myles Garrett, or excuse me, with Mitch Trubisky, do you try to float a trade offer that way and just guarantee that it's not a smokescreen and you get Garrett? Or would you just sit and hope that the Browns are going to be the Browns and pass on Garrett and you'll still manage to get him?
Well, I would guess that the Browns are openly shopping the pick just to see what they can get. And maybe they're not as high on Myles Garrett as everyone else seems to be, which I think is understandable. You know, there's so much hype surrounding this one player, and he really doesn't have a ton of college production to back it up. And I know you could call his last season at Texas A&M kind of a wash just because he was dealing with the ankle injury. And like I said, like, you know, preserving his draft stock and maybe not playing with a ton of urgency. Maybe that changes when he comes into the league, but maybe that's a red flag for some people. And Cleveland, given that, you know, their new front office is determined to get as many assets as possible, maybe they're considering, you know, if we can get a couple of extra first round picks, maybe a couple more second round picks. I mean, they already have 5 second round picks these next two drafts, and 3 first round picks. But, you know, ultimately, if they do want to trade for Garoppolo, maybe they can get more picks. And what Mike Florio wrote, which I thought was sort of interesting and notable, was that, you know, the Browns have been linked to Leonard Fournette. They've obviously been linked to Garrett and Trubisky, and maybe they're just covering all of their bases, saying if we do make a trade, you know, we can sell it as this was our guy all along. And, you know, that's something sort of worth considering. I don't know that messaging to the fans should really be a priority for them right now. But I can see it working out that way. I mean, they have to curry favorites somehow. You know, they don't have a loaded roster. They obviously don't have a quarterback. They need to build optimism going into the season. So I could see them taking that approach, particularly if they end up without one of these notable quarterbacks that, you know, that give fans a clear view as to what the long-term plan is going to be. So I don't know. I mean, I think this is all kind of just scuttlebutt and people talking because it serves their interest, and we'll see, you know, when rubber meets the pavement, what actually happens when the draft is here in 2 weeks.
Well, I think no matter what, even if they are planning on taking Myles Garrett, and this is all just a big smokescreen and it doesn't really matter, it's doing, like Jared said earlier, it's doing the 49ers a huge favor, because now, I mean, it also puts them in an interesting spot. It's because now they have to consider, okay, is Myles Garrett really going to be available? Because there's two things. You know, they'd have to wait to see who the Browns took first overall. And then they'd have, the amazing option of, okay, we can trade back for a king's ransom and forego Garrett, but for all these draft picks, or we can actually get Myles Garrett and have the Leo, the defensive end that we really need in our defense that Sala was talking about all this time. But it kind of puts them in a rough spot right now, because the Browns, you know, this rumored interest in Trubisky kind of makes teams might be interested in that second pick, given who might be available. So now they have to decide, okay, do we entertain and get serious trade offers right now before the draft? And, you know, maybe if we get an offer good enough, we let go of that second pick before the draft, or do we, you know, but then if they do that, then they're looking at, okay, the draft comes, they trade it out of that number two pick and the Browns don't take Garrett. And then they're staring down the fact that they could have had Garrett. So it's an interesting situation, but I think in the end, it's doing the 49ers a favor and just generally making their pick more valuable than it was, like Jared said.
And what they can do is they can point to this thing and say, you know, that this is going to create conversation with the 49ers and other teams. They can say, hey, look, if Cleveland does trade out of this pick, let's talk about what the trade package can be. If you want to move up to number two and take Myles Garrett. And what that could do is end up leading to other conversations regarding other trade assets, or maybe it gives the 49ers a clear view on what the market is. And what teams are offering for that second pick, and what they would be offering if Garrett weren't there. So maybe if nothing else, it opens up the conversation lines between the 49ers and other teams, so they can get a better idea of what's out there and be a little bit more prepared and have a few more bullets in the chamber when the draft comes.
Yeah, I think it's just created a number of contingency plans, which is never a bad thing, and especially for Lynch, going into his first time really making some of these pressure packed decisions, and you know, especially now that they've lowered the draft clock to just 10 minutes instead of the typical 15, those 5 minutes are critical, and you're losing time that could be spent, you know, negotiating and evaluating players and stuff. So I think either way, it's going to be something that likely comes on the day of the draft, you know, as the pick is being prepared to be made. But I could see it being something that is more or less a seamless process, like you mentioned, in that they're already doing the necessary discussions. And most of these teams, theoretically, if they've done this right, have already addressed these potential outcomes. And especially these teams in the top five, where there's a little bit of flexibility and fluidity, but not a whole lot. You know, if you're picking in the mid 20s, the board shakes out in quite a few different ways. And if you're picking at number two overall, and the consensus for the last, you know, 6 months has been that Myles Garrett is going to be the best player available in the draft and the number one overall pick, the 49ers should have theoretically been able to work out a lot of these scenarios already. And if anything, this just makes it a greater option or a more realistic option as other teams give them calls.
Yeah. And so I think that kind of leads us to the news that Schefter broke a little bit before we started recording this podcast, when he said that Kyle Shanahan flew to North Carolina and worked out Mitch Trubisky. this week, and Shanahan had said he had met with Trubisky, but he didn't reveal to us yesterday that he actually flew to Carolina. He said at Stanford's pro day, his plan was to stay at the Santa Clara facility and watch game tape and handle his meetings from there. But he actually flew cross country to meet with Trubisky, which is interesting because it would, you know, like we mentioned with the Browns, it would behoove the 49ers to get that news out there. If they are looking to trade back, just to indicate that they are interested in the quarterback. And obviously, if they are trading, if a team is trading up to take that quarterback, a quarterback is going to offer more in return in a trade than another player, say like Solomon Thomas or someone like that. So I think that's interesting. I think that's very calculated by the 49ers. I think that's pretty clear. They also worked out Deshaun Watson, who was at the facility today. John Lynch is talking to the media tomorrow. So, you know, I think we've made it pretty clear that none of us think that Mitch Trubisky or Deshaun Watson are worth the number two pick. But, you know, is there a scenario that you guys see that has the 49ers maybe moving back a few spots and end up taking one of these guys in the first round? Or maybe, you know, maybe they select a two and end up moving back into the first round and in the end, maybe giving up a first rounder next year, you know, multiple mid round picks or whatever it takes to get in the 20 range before some of these teams that might need quarterbacks, if these guys are still on the board, are those scenarios realistic to you guys?
Well, I think they're super realistic. I think that there's no doubt that the 49ers still need a quarterback. You know, Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley are, you know, they're not being paid like starters. They're the second and third string quarterbacks already in place. So you can tell that the 49ers are kind of just waiting for that franchise signal caller to come along. And, you know, I could realistically see them taking a quarterback at two, and I can see them, if they can find that trade partner, trading back and then targeting one there too, because there's no doubt the need is there. You know, the team just has so many other needs that it makes it to where there's so many other prospects worth considering. So I think the scenario is definitely realistic, and I just think that, you know, Shanahan seems like such a cerebral person, and he seems like he knows exactly what he wants from a quarterback. So he could have very easily looked at Trubisky's one season and seen, you know, where most people see inexperienced, he sees, okay, this guy's only had one season as a starter and he's already this good, you know, and when I get him in my offense, I'm going to make him much better. So maybe that's the way he looks at it, and whether or not that's at the number two pick or it's trading back and possibly doing that later, it's just a matter of how much Shanahan likes him and whether or not he feels like he can get him later. Because, you know, if that is the target and you're trading back hoping he's going to be there, you know, that can give you some serious nerves. And, you know, that's why you end up bending and taking him with the second overall. So I think it's really realistic. It's just a matter of whether or not they see him as more valuable than, you know, someone like Malik Hooker or Reuben Foster.
Yeah, I think if they do trade back, which is definitely a possibility, some of the hot spots that they're going to have to kind of look at in terms of teams that they know they're going to need to stay in front of. They're going to have to stay in front of the New York Jets if they've done any sort of feeling out of who the Jets like. I think the Jets have to be heavily considering taking a quarterback with their pick in the first, in the top 10 there. Aside from that, the Cardinals, they've got Carson Palmer, who's old and withering, and they're going to take a quarterback either this year or next year, and I'm almost positive it's going to be this year in the first round, and the Houston Texans also. So those are kind of three checkpoints that hopefully they've done their, you know, sort of a little bit of a background investigation to determine who and what those teams might be interested in and what they're looking for. Because I think if the 49ers think that there's a quarterback worth taking in the first round, and we've mentioned this before, if you think a quarterback is worth taking in the first round, it doesn't matter, aside from pay, it doesn't matter if you take him at 2 overall or 17 overall or 25 overall. If you think he's a franchise quarterback, you have the number 2 overall pick. You don't get to change that unless somebody else says we're interested in having that pick. So you just do the best you can. And if you think that the franchise quarterback is there, then take him. But I think if they're looking at trade back scenarios and thinking, okay, where can we get our guy? They're going to have to look at the Jets and see who the Jets wants. I think the Jets are probably favored to land Trubisky. And if I had to go 1A, 1B, it's probably Trubisky and Watson for the Jets. Cardinals, I think, have to be enamored with DeShone Kizer and Patrick Mahomes because they just have rocket arms, big arms that'll fit in Arian's system. So they're going to be sort of the next checkpoint for them. And then the Houston Texans in the mid-20s there could go a number of ways, but they almost surely have to grab a quarterback in the first round because otherwise they're going to be reaching in the second for a guy like Davis Webb, and that's not ideal.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the 20s because you have a bunch of teams with aging quarterbacks that really have to start considering the future and whether or not they want to groom somebody because these are guys that probably need time to season in the pros and not get thrown out there right away. And the Giants picking at 23 with Eli Manning getting up there, the Texans, like you mentioned, at 25, maybe the Chiefs at 27 with Alex Smith there, the Steelers at 30 with Ben Roethlisberger getting up there, and then you have New Orleans at 32, and maybe they start thinking about life beyond Drew Brees. So if the 49ers maybe want to hit that first wave of quarterbacks, maybe they do have to get back into, you know, maybe the 20 range. Maybe John Lynch and John Elway's relationship helps them, you know, cultivate a trade at 20, and maybe that's the spot where they go get Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson, or you know, if Trubisky falls that far, maybe that he's a possibility there. For me, I think I'm going to maintain that I think Nathan Peterman from Pittsburgh, and you know, if he's there at 66, which is the second pick in the third round, I think that's probably the best case scenario for the 49ers. Just because I think they need to go into this not feeling super urgent about finding a quarterback. I think next offseason is really going to be a better offseason of finding the next franchise guy, whether that's Kirk Cousins or one of the guys in the upcoming draft. That draft is expected to be a lot better. If the 49ers trade back, maybe they can get an additional first-round pick so they can maneuver and get to where they need to be to land one of those guys in next year's class. And maybe, you know, maybe they strike lightning in a bottle like some of these teams, like, you know, the Seahawks with Russell Wilson or the Cowboys with Dak Prescott, who benefited immensely from finding a quarterback without having to use a first round pick, and they were able to fortify the roster with their early selections elsewhere. So, you know, this is a great draft in the second and third rounds, I think, particularly round two with what the 49ers need with pass rushers and cornerbacks, maybe receivers. I think the meat of this draft is really in round two. So if they can maneuver and get the players they need to build up the rest of the roster, and wait on a quarterback till round three, I think Nathan Peterman would be a good fit. I think the comparisons people make to Kirk Cousins are pretty good. I think he's a really functional quarterback, and he's already proven he can play in a pro system. And another guy I think we should keep an eye on is Josh Dobbs from Tennessee, maybe in the fourth round. You know, he's a guy who's really smart, he's experienced, and he might be, you know, he might not be able to start right away, and I don't think Peterman would be able to start right away either, but these are good quality developmental guys who, you know, maybe could back up for a while. And if you bring in Kirk Cousins next year, then you have your long-term backup with a year of experience under his belt in case anything happens to Kirk Cousins if he gets hurt. So that's kind of where I'm at on the quarterback position. So we had our first media session with new defensive coordinator Robert Saleh yesterday, and everything that we had heard about what Saleh wants to run schematically ended up being true. He wants to run a true Seahawks style 4-3, mostly a 4-3 under, which is similar to a 3-4 that the 49ers have run, only the responsibilities of the front seven are a little bit different, and we can dive into that a little bit. It's going to be a one-gap scheme. It's going to be a single high safety scheme, which raises some interesting questions. Robert Saleh said that Eric Reed is going to be a safety in the box initially. So that means the 49ers don't have a free safety on the roster, and they've talked about maybe moving Jimmy Ward, but that's not a sure thing, and I think that opens a possibility for number two to be looked at for someone like Malik Hooker, who we've written a lot about on Niners Wire. So, you know, when you guys listened to Saleh talk about the scheme yesterday, what stood out to you?
I think one of the things that stood out the most to me is he was pretty forthcoming about what needed to be up, what he had, what he didn't have, what needed to be upgraded, what, you know, what seemed, you know, okay as is. You know, he wasn't shy about talking about how the defense was probably going to need some upgrades at edge rusher, you know, whether that be, you know, on either side, because a lot of people got confused about what he said about a Sam linebacker and the fact that Eric Armstead could play that, and that kind of got misconstrued a little bit. But what he was saying is we're going to have plenty of pass rushers on both sides of the defensive line, and he feels like we can upgrade on both sides. And you know, we've talked a lot about Lynch, or excuse me, written a lot about Lynch, and the fact that, you know, in his first couple of years, he showed a lot of promise, and then he's kind of fallen off since then with suspensions and injuries and showing up out of shape. So it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if that was the direction the team went pretty early on in the draft. And one thing that kind of stood out to me, and it may be just overanalyzing things, was that the defensive coordinator, you know, Robert Saleh, was really, really familiar with Derek Barnett. And I'm not, you know, obviously defensive coordinators will dig into the draft and have their say on who the 49ers take and whether or not they should invest in a player or not. But I thought it was interesting that he instantly knew who Derek Barnett was, what he was good at. So I think that kind of clues us into that the team's obviously looking at edge rushers. You could have made that deduction without today. But I just thought it was interesting that he knew exactly who he was. He was pretty, you know, gushing about his talents. He knew he was good. And so I think that might be a small clue as to who, you know, the 49ers are looking at. Maybe that's something they're looking at in the first round. And, you know, the Myles Garrett news kind of helps them in that department. But I just thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think Derek Barnett obviously is an ideal Leo in that defense. He's somebody that they could trade back for, still grab probably in the low teens, and they might get lucky and see him drop into the high teens and early 20s. But nonetheless, he's not somebody you have to get at the second overall pick. Obviously, they need somebody to trade up for that pick. And the longer it goes and the less, you know, the less it looks like somebody else might be valued at that pick, the less leverage the 49ers have. And certainly the Cleveland Browns news helps a little bit. But who knows how highly valued that two pick is by other teams right now. I was interested to listen to Saleh talk about the Sam position. That's just a position that I've kind of, you know, worked and written around lately. And I had a much different idea of what that playing style might need to look like in that defense. And I'll admit that when he came out and said, hey, our Sam's going to have his hand on the ground 70% of the time and nickel rushing the passer, that kind of struck me by surprise, because I'd been sort of, you know, mocking and looking at these guys and thinking, okay, this Sam backer needs to be a guy that's pressed on a tight end, can jam at the line of scrimmage, can spot drop well, can, you know, hang in coverage, snuff out the screen game. And I think the Sam will have to do all of that. But Saleh really placed an importance on the fact that he's going to be a pass rusher in this defense, that he's somebody that they want on the line of scrimmage, you know, with some flexibility to rush the passer. And obviously he's going to need to have some movement skills. But looking at that position and how that develops, I think it's funny, every year we mention Ahmad Brooks is kind of this candidate to be cut. And then Saleh comes out and drops this new note about the Sam position. And it sounds like, to me, as I listen, Ahmad Brooks is tailored for this role. And I think that they are naturally going to find an upgrade, or at least a depth piece, somebody that they can develop in the first few rounds to play that role. I think I mentioned TJ Watt in the second round, but I think that you could go even a little later and still find some upper body thick dudes. I think Harvey Lange out of BYU is a guy that really could play a Sam role. He originally played defensive line a little bit, played a little edge rusher at BYU, and has also played linebacker. But nonetheless, I think Ahmad Brooks, again, is going to have a really good shot to stay on the roster and play that Sam role.
Yeah, I think Ryan Anderson from Alabama is a third-round candidate that I'm keeping an eye on. I to echo what you guys are saying, I think him talking about the play on the edge is really going to be the most important thing the 49ers have to address going into this draft. And you mentioned Derek Barnett and obviously Myles Garrett. There are a lot of Leos in this draft. You know, just edge rushers that can line up on the left side, and all they really have to do is set the edge and rush the passer. I think one thing that was sort of interesting is he sort of looks at that Sam spot as either, you know, a linebacker or defensive end based on the situation. So he mentioned, you know, Eric Armstead potentially playing Sam. That just means Armstead being a defensive end on the strong side and sub. You know, that's when there's an extra defensive back on the field. You know, the 49ers are going to have versatility with their defensive front, particularly on that strong side, and maybe they'll mix and match a little bit, considering they have, you know, they have a decent amount of depth with Armstead and Buckner and Mitchell and Quinton Dial already there. All those guys sort of fill out, could potentially fill out spots along with Aaron Lynch. So I think, you know, they're still going to invest early, I would have to think, in this draft, just because they need to remake that position. And Ahmad Brooks is going to be 33. Aaron Lynch has been a mixed bag, like you mentioned, Rob. So to me, that's an interesting thing. You know, are they going to get more corners? I know they have Rashard Robinson, who seems like a perfect fit, you know, to play that cover three press man style that they want to play. Is Dante Johnson that guy? Do they need to invest in an early round pick in a corner? And it seems like there are a lot of corners in this draft, particularly within the first three, maybe in the first four rounds, that fit that style. So, I think it's going to be interesting. I was a little surprised to hear, like you mentioned, that the Sam was more of a pass rusher, sort of outside linebacker, you know, 3-4 type guy, rather than sort of the typical off-the-ball 4-3 linebacker, because we had talked about Navarro Bowman potentially switching to Sam, and maybe, you know, maybe that's more of a situational position. Maybe Bowman in a base scenario could be that Sam guy, particularly if they draft someone like Reuben Foster who can play the Mike. But it sounds like the Mike and the Will's on the weak side, are really going to be interchangeable, and the Mike is ultimately going to be the one calling plays with the green dot and the communicator, and getting the defense set before each play. So it's going to be really similar to the 3-4, which the 49ers have run for the better part of the last decade or so, with Bowman back there, presumably with Malcolm Smith. It's going to be, I'm interested that, you know, it's, they're going to be one gapping. They're not going to be two gapping, which is going to be different. And I think it's going to help them because they're just going to attack gaps and not have to, you know, worry about reading and reacting and with all these young guys holding on blocks and trying to shed blocks. It's going to be more about attacking gaps at the snap. So I think that's going to help them. And they did a little bit of that last year when they're really struggling to stop the run. So with Reed in the box, if he's still the starting strong safety, I think it's going to be a better look for them. And I think it's really interesting, you know, what's going to happen at free safety. The 49ers reportedly met this week, or going to meet this week, with Washington safety Buda Baker, who is a candidate to play that single high role, and maybe the second best single high safety in this draft behind Malik Hooker. So I think it's pretty clear the 49ers might be making that a priority. And I do think it's interesting that there hasn't been any notable link between the 49ers and Malik Hooker yet. And that might be by design. Maybe they met with him at the combine and his pro day, and that was all they needed. You know, he's been one guy that makes a ton of sense for them early in the first round that they haven't been linked to, you know, with meetings and dinners and workouts. Obviously, he's coming off of his injuries and he's not healthy yet, but you know, maybe that's by design. Maybe the 49ers want that to fly under the radar. We'll have to see.
To that point, I think it's interesting because as we sit here and talk about the defense and the players they already have on the roster and who goes where and who can still work where, and you know, all the people that still have a place in the defense as it's transitioning to a 4-3, the free safety is the only thing that, not only did Sala talk about it, but we haven't talked about it right now. It's really the only position that is like, you know, a glaring hole. You know, there's really nobody there that can play that position. And yes, John Lynch mentioned Jimmy Ward possibly trying that out, but you know, that would be essentially his third position since he joined the team. So I don't think he's a for sure thing at that position. And just talking through the defense like this, it makes it even more obvious how much of a need that is. And I think the 49ers are in a good position when it comes to that single high role, is because they could take Malik Hooker at two. You know, and they get an immediate starter, an immediate impact player, a guy who, you know, in a way, he's like the free safety or the safety version of Trubisky, in the fact that he did only have that one season, but that one season was pretty phenomenal. And the guy, you know, the guy just shows an instinct level that you wouldn't really expect to see a guy who started for a year. And then you got guys at the second round, like you were saying, Buda Baker, and I think his name's Marcus Williams, guys that they could take at the beginning of the second round that'll fit right into that role too if they wanted to go somewhere else in the first. So at the very least, whether it's Malik Hooker or Jimmy Ward or somebody else, they seem like they've got a lot of options to fill that role, which, like I was saying, is just a pretty glaring need at this point for a position that's so critical in that defense.
And the needs that the 49ers have right now, particularly at corner and edge rusher, whether it's a Sam or a Leo, are positions of depth in this draft class. They will be able to find quality players and starters probably by their second year, and in some cases starting even in their first year. You'll be able to find those players in the third and fourth round, no problem. So drafting a guy like Malik Hooker high because you recognize him to be the most dominant, most impactful safety in the draft gives them a lot of flexibility later, how the board shakes out. They're not going to be, you know, beholden to the hopes that one guy remains at, you know, pick 34, 66. They'll have some flexibility in what they do and still be able to land starters. I think that their plan and approach in free agency, especially the money that they spent on the offensive side of the ball versus the defensive side of the ball, made it clear that defense is going to be an emphasis in this draft and probably early because of it. And the coaching ability of Kyle Shanahan and his ability to generate production from even average or lackluster offensive talent makes it appear as though, offensive players won't be the premier selections, at least this year. And obviously a guy like Mike Williams out of Clemson or Corey Davis, those you know, elite playmakers, they're worth it. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Kyle Shanahan be interested in one of those guys. But I think Kyle Shanahan, like most head coaches, probably has a little bit of ego in the expectation that, look, it doesn't matter who we trot out at receiver. I can run Marquise Goodwin out here for a season, and he's going to still be able to beat you over the top because I'm going to design plays better than you know how to stop him. And that's been a common theme this offseason, that coaches, as analysts and such, talk to them. And Andy Benoit from SI, I think, tweeted it the other day that routinely, as he talks to coaches, Shanahan's name comes up as one of the most feared play callers because he just routinely outsmarted very bright people. And he's got enough offensive talent, I think, to do that now. And so they can look at the other positions on defense early in the draft and should be able to find solid starters all the way up to the fourth round.
Yeah, and to piggyback off that point, like talking about taking a quarterback maybe the third, fourth, or fifth round and sort of waiting. You know, if Shanahan is that good at developing quarterbacks, which I think he's proven to be throughout his 10 years as an offensive coordinator, developing a bunch of different kinds of quarterbacks and styles of quarterbacks, I think, you know, maybe it is smarter to draft a quarterback later just because of the way he's able to scheme guys open, like you mentioned, the way he's able to develop these guys. He doesn't necessarily need to invest an early round pick right now in a quarterback if he thinks he can get similar production from someone maybe a little bit more experienced in the college ranks, like Josh Dobbs or Brad Kaya or Nathan Peterman, maybe even Davis Webb. You know, I know there's some buzz about him going into the first round. But a couple things to update on. So we talked to Navarro Bowman yesterday, and he's going to be on the field participating in minicamp in 2 weeks. It sounds like his recovery from his Achilles tear is going on schedule, if not ahead of schedule. And I don't think there's any doubt, barring any setbacks, and he said there haven't been any so far, but he's going to be good to go by the time training camp comes around and the start of the regular season, which I think is really good news for the 49ers as they try to rebuild this defense. Another thing, DeForest Buckner looks, just seeing him in person, just looks considerably stronger than he was as a rookie. And he talked a lot about how much different this offseason has been for him, not having to go through the pre-draft process and everything like that. He's been able to just spend time focusing on working out, getting his body right. He mentioned, you know, having more of that grown man strength. So I think that's a really positive development, and if DeForest Buckner really develops that strength, you know, that we saw Justin Smith have with his career with the Niners, like, obviously he becomes a building block and maybe a potential all-pro type player to have in the middle of that defense. So I think those are two positive things to take from that. And I think it's you know, we're going to hear from John Lynch tomorrow, and he's probably going to talk in subtleties and maybe not dive into details about really what this pre-draft process is like. But I'm curious to see what he has to say about how things have gone the last few weeks. He hasn't done much media or as much media as he did when he was first hired. So it'll be interesting to hear how the draft process is going. And we will definitely have those updates for you on NinersWire.com as they come. So keep it locked. Thank you for tuning in today. And for Rob Louder and Jared Brown, I'm Chris Biederman. Thank you for listening, and we are out.